Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. If you are watching us live, you are watching on Brighteon.tv, where we have a number of great hosts. I think we're up to almost 60 hosts on both radio and TV. So I'd ask you to please share Brighteon TV with everybody that you can. Go to our website, click on schedule, look at the great number of hosts and different variety of shows that we have there. And then also I'd remind you to go to my site, AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. Please download that free ebook, An Appeal to Heaven. I'm going to be speaking out in Virginia here next month. At a first landing event that we talked about Monday, and really applying the lessons and the principles that are taught in that Appeal to Heaven book. It really is about imprecatory prayer. So we got two great guests for you today, and we'll be right back after this break.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value, that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Before we get started, I want to jump right into my first guest. Before we get started, I do want to remind you, Dr. Alan Keyes did finalize his book, and he just sent me the copy of it, so I'm reviewing it now. Hopefully, we can get that published and get Dr. Keyes out on a speaking tour ASAP. So reach out there at imtv.us, and we'll see about, he's getting quite a few invitations already, so we'll see about getting him to speak at one of your events. And then I do want to remind you this weekend, tomorrow night and Saturday, Coach Dave Dobemeyer is having his medical and legal truth event in the Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Tom Renz, Carrie Madej, the Resistance Chicks. It's going to be a great, great event. They limited the number of speakers because they just didn't want, 30 speakers that just kind of stepped all over each other. So a lot of interaction, a lot of fellowship. If you're anywhere near there, please attend that event. And I believe it's also being live streamed. So you can go to CoachDaveLive.com and find out more about that. Let me go ahead and just read my scripture verse for the day. And it really is relevant to our first guest. It'll be 1 Chronicles 23, 1 through 5, and it says this, verse 1. When David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. Verse 2. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Verse 3. Now the Levites were numbered from age of 30 years and above. That's when you entered the priesthood. And the number of individual males was 38,000. Verse 4. Of these, now they're going to break them down. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. Okay, that's what John the Baptist did. They were broken into divisions. 6,000 were officers and judges. Now, again, these are the Levites and the priests, officers and judges. They were in the government. And then, verse 5, 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving of praise. So just amazing when you go back to the Old Testament and you look at a lot of this stuff. I think it poo-poos a lot of what's being taught in the church today. I mean, the priests were in charge of the praise and worship. They were the officers, they were the judges, and they were the gatekeepers. And the gatekeepers were responsible for what came in and out of the city. So I think we need to get back to that understanding that the church has a whole lot more responsibility than just worship, just coming in praise and worship. You know, heaven is not just a sanctuary. Heaven is a seat of government where the king, lawgiver, and judge rules and reigns from. And when we understand that, we take that next step in our understanding, then our approach not only to God, but our approach to man will change immensely. So the reason I brought that verse up because of the word gatekeepers. And our good friend Jeff Dornick is back with us today, who runs an organization called Gatekeepers. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me back on. You know, as always, it's always a blast talking to you.
Absolutely. Well, I love your new studio backdrop there. It looks very, not only just simplistic, but it looks excellent. I love that new flag you've got.
Thank you. Yeah, I figure, you know, I need to step up my patriotic visuals on the show. And so, you know, it's been fun because, you know, before I just had like a white wall background, just super simple, and I'm like, nah, I need to get a little patriotic here.
There you go. No, you did a great job there. I think your studio looks well. A couple of things we're going to talk about. I saw you with Ann Vandersteel the other day, and she's definitely one of our big heavy hitters here on Brighty on TV. But the main reason I brought you on when we booked you last time was because of your new book, and I understand it's out. So tell the people about the book you've just written.
Yeah, sure. So we're actually still in pre-orders right now, but it's called Following the Leader. And so the entire, you know, concept of the book that I'm putting together I feel like everybody is to a certain degree a sheeple. It's really easy to fall into that. And it's easy for us as conservatives to say, look at all those Democrats, look at all those lefties, all those woke social justice warriors. They're just sheeple. They're just plain follow the leader. They're just going along with whatever they're told and repeating all the lies that they're spoon fed. Well, the reality of it is that that's happening within our movement as well. You know, and that also kind of ties in with the PSYOP and that subsect that I put out yesterday as well, where the thing that we need to remember is that there are targeted PSYOPs that are happening towards our movement. And oftentimes what they're actually doing is they're attempting to get you to follow somebody else. Why are they doing that? The main reason is because they're trying to make sure that you don't get active yourself. So they want you to sit back. Remember the phrase, trust the plan. Sit back. Trust that somebody else has this super secret plan that'll come save the day, and that I know it's been three years since Trump got out of office, but he's still going to come in sometime with the military or something along those lines, and that's one of the things that we really need to dispel within our movement is that there's always this secret plan, there's always this thing that's going to happen at some point. We're just waiting for the hammer to fall, but we've got to realize we've got to get our butts off the couch, our butts off the sofa, and actually get out there and get involved and make a difference. There's a reason why our founding fathers said that it's about we the people. It's not about that one guy over there. There's a reason why George Washington did not serve more than two terms is because he did not want there to be a king. It wasn't about him. It was about the country. It was about the Constitution. It was about the people. And that's what we've got to remember in all this. So that's really what this book is about. I'm also going to be detailing how the intelligence agencies have been testing out their brainwashing and manipulation techniques over the last 40 to 50 years, And one of the things that they've been doing is they've been working specifically on testing people within cults. So they were actually working in conjunction with a lot of the cult leaders that we've seen come over the years. And they've been doing that in order to test out a lot of these, you know, brainwashing techniques. How do we get people to do things that they would never do? How do we get everyday people to participate in insane behavior? Well, they've learned how to do that. And then guess what they're doing now? Ever since 2019, 2020, now they're implementing all of those things that they've learned by practicing it on the cults. Now they're doing it to the masses. So the book's going to document some examples of how these intelligence agencies have been testing this out over the last several years. And then now we're actually seeing this play out in front of us, where everybody's always asking, how do these people not see what's happening right in front of them? They see something on TV. They see somebody suddenly die on TV in an athletic event, and they're still going to deny the reality of the adverse reactions and people suddenly dying as a result of the COVID jabs. How do they get people to deny what they're seeing right in front of them? And so they've been practicing this for the last 50 years, and now it's just coming to fruition.
Automatically think of, you know, Jesus saying that at the end of the age, the deception will be so great to fool the elect. You know, what you're bringing up is really just the nuts and bolts of this. I mean, it doesn't just happen out of thin air. I mean, there is just a plan. There's a strategy. There has been for a long, long time. They perfected their techniques. You've got your Substack article, and I want you to tell people where to find it so they can read it, but it says the PSYOP that's suckering many conservatives. And again, you were on the Zelenko report with Ann Bandersteel. This is exactly, you know, what I always start with the assumption that God is right. And if he says the deception is going to be so great to fool even the elect, I take that as a very, very sincere warning. So anytime I hear anything come from people that I know are not of God, then I automatically go, wait a minute, is this the deception? Is this a deception? And a lot of time, if you just accept that the media is lying to you every time you open your mouth, now you can look at the other side of the equation to find the truth. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah. I think to a certain degree, specifically within you know, how we decide who to trust, who to listen to, and all of that is I think we have to begin to take a step back and stop playing this game of cult of personalities. I when I started off, I was specifically and exclusively dealing with theology. I had my show Conversations with Jeff, and especially with all my work that I've been doing with the Gatekeepers, that was almost exclusively theological, dealing with that side of things. And I saw this cult of personality within evangelicalism, you know, cult followers of people like John MacArthur or John Piper or any of these big name celebrity pastors, where, you know, people were diehard. It's almost like they were identifying themselves. I'm a MacArthur guy. I'm a Piper guy. I'm this pastor's, you know, follower, whatever it might be. Or the Apostle Paul clearly stated, you know, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just spokespeople for God. Be followers of God. Don't be followers of us. And you know, there's this problem within evangelicalism where we've got people that are, you know, they're basing their theology around their favorite pastor as around God's word. And now that I've been dealing a lot within politics, I'm seeing the exact same thing happen within politics, where we're actually seeing people, I identify as a Trump guy, I identify as a DeSantis guy. They're picking their team. And then they're correlating their belief system, how they view the role of the government, how the Constitution plays into things, all these different principles. Now what they're doing is they're deciding what they believe based upon what their favorite politician says, instead of taking a step back and figuring out, what do I actually believe? Do I believe in the Word of God? Do I believe in the United States Constitution? What do I believe about the role of the government? What do I believe about medical freedom? What do I believe about all of these different things? And then you align yourself with the politician that most represents your belief system. Instead, what we're seeing is everybody pick their teams right now. And, you know, we're seeing this especially between, you know, people like Trump and DeSantis. Everybody's taking their pick, and now they're fighting with each other. Now it's just a battle of personalities. Mm-hmm. Trump's insulting DeSantis. DeSantis is insulting Trump. And I feel like we're actually getting nowhere. Take a step back. Take a deep breath. Read the Bible. Read the Constitution. Figure out what you believe, and then everything else will just begin to make sense.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, a lot of times we can say follow the money. You know, where's the money? Who's supporting this? That's a very important aspect of it, is who's the big money players behind this stuff? Because you and I, we don't have big money behind us, right? There's nobody trying to promote our agenda because we basically go against everything else. But again, this is why the mainstream media is so important. I never envisioned myself sitting here having a show like this. I know you and I have talked many times. You never envisioned this, you know, 10 years ago. But I mean, those of us who love truth and want to see truth just feel the need to get that truth out. And I think that's the thing that you and I have in common. But the other thing is, again, understanding, you know, the mainstream media. And, you know, I mean, people think Fox is on their side. They think Tucker Carlson is on their side. They, you know, I've seen this when I got out of the Air Force and I understood controlled opposition. I looked at Fox, I looked at Sean Hannity, and I looked at the talking heads over there. And I'm like, these people are not your friend. They're just saying what you already know to be true, and they're offering zero ideas of how to fix it. And you're starting to see that now. I think you and I and the rest of the mainstream media, or the non-mainstream media, are shaking the trees enough that they have to come out. Let me ask you this, and I didn't expect to, but when someone asked me about, do you see the Tucker Carlson videos on everybody, the really J6 and what really happened, and it wasn't as violent, and he said, and I'm like, my opinion, and I'll let you chime in on this. I said, because of the Freedom of Information Act, they knew that stuff was going to end up getting released eventually. So they had to get ahead of it. They had to get control of it. And I see too many conservatives and too many Christians following Fox and Tucker Carlson and hanging on every word that these people say, a Q and this whole nonsense. I mean, and nobody's reading the Bible. Nobody's trying to hear what God has to say about things. Let me know your opinion on that.
Yeah, so I think the, you know, like you said, it's very difficult to be able to trust anybody in the mainstream media, and a lot of it is because when you think about it, there's a lot of money that's thrown around, and then the question is, why is there so much money thrown around on things like Fox News and even when you think about it, the Blaze and Breitbart and some of the other mainstream conservative outlets, there's a lot of money thrown around. I mean, Daily Wire is another example of that, and a lot of people will get upset when I say this, but it's because they're willing to repeat particular talking points that will represent that of where their money is coming from. You know, whether it's coming from a PAC, whether it's coming from an advertiser. I mean, look, Pfizer, you know, sponsors how many shows on Fox News? It's crazy. But specifically when it comes to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, in my opinion, is probably the best person on cable news. He's probably the most trustworthy, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that I necessarily think that he is 100% completely trustworthy as well. Again, like I said, don't buy into this cult of personality where we just hang on to every single word that Tucker Carlson says, because again, he's not God. He's not perfect. He's going to mess up. But specifically, I think what we're learning about January 6th, it's good the information that he's putting out there. It's good that he's putting out the video content that's actually showing what really happened, because that represents a lot of what a lot of people that I talked to that were there on January 6th, now all of a sudden they're getting validated. Like I was told by Mindy Robinson, who was there outside of the Capitol, that the police were actually provoking the people in the audience with tear gas and smoke bombs and all that kind of stuff, and that's what actually got people all riled up. Another friend of mine, J.R. Majewski, that was running for Congress out in Ohio, he was there as well. He actually had video footage actually showing very similar things, where police were actually attacking, you know, the non-violent peaceful protesters there, getting them riled up. And then the mainstream media acts, well, why is everybody getting so fired up and so upset, and they're pushing back and they're fighting? Well, look at what the police just did 30 seconds ago. It's like if a bully comes over and punches the kid in the face, and then all of a sudden the kid responds and pushes the bully back, and then the kid gets in trouble for bullying the bully. It's a very similar scenario as to what we're seeing. But this is the key that we've got to understand. The mainstream media and the Democrat Party and the globalist powers that be understand these brainwashing techniques in order to get people to buy into these psyops. This entire January 6th thing was a psyop. When you think about it, they know that if they can get their messaging out first, and especially in this scenario, they got it out years before the mainstream, even mainstream conservatism, began to see this footage. If they can get out ahead of the narrative, they understand that typically the first piece of news that you hear about a particular event is what you're going to believe. So it typically becomes a race between the left and the right to see who can get their narrative out first. When it came to January 6th, they've been able to set the narrative to where they've even gotten moderate Republicans to buy into the claim that that was a violent insurrection. How did they do that? Because 3 years, they just inundated the American people with, it was a violent insurrection. They were trying to overthrow the government. Donald Trump incited a violent insurrection. They just repeated that lie over and over and over again. And to where now, and again, I live out here in communist California, and you know, everybody out here is completely brainwashed. But now I'll talk to people even now about things like January 6th or COVID-19 or the supposed vaccines. And I'll just lay out the facts. Here's the documentation. Here's video footage. Here's photos. Here's FDA approval letters. Here's data. Here's the reports coming out of what should have been included in the J6 commission. All of that kind of stuff. And they will not believe what is right in front of them because they've been told by somebody that they trust on the television that January 6th was a violent insurrection. There's almost nothing that we can actually do to wake them up because they've been brainwashed for 3 years. We can't think that we can just all of a sudden come in with proof that they're wrong and that they're going to change within 30 seconds. It's going to take a long, drawn-out process of continually providing the documentation and the evidence and force people to actually question their very reality. And that's really what's happening right now in regards to January 6th, in regards to COVID as well. We're basically telling people, question your reality, question what you believe to be real. Because if they all of a sudden change their mind when it comes to January 6th, they're going to take on a lot of heat. When you think about it, they're going to be labeled as a far right extremist that's aligning themselves with domestic terrorists. If they change their tune on COVID-19, all of a sudden they're going to be aligned with all these wacko conspiracy theorists that, you know, that the left is always calling us. And that everything for the last 3 years, all the sacrifice that they made, the jobs that they lost, the money that they lost, the businesses that went under, the friends that they lost, the family members that they lost friendships over, that all of that was for nothing. Because they bought into a lie. This is where we, I think, as Christians and conservatives, we've also got to show a little bit of grace to people who are deceived. Because they're literally, if they come around to the truth and they can admit what the truth actually is, their entire world gets turned upside down. So we've got to be patient, but don't give up. Keep providing the documentation. Show them what the truth is. And hopefully at some point, God will open their eyes.
Yeah, and I knew when January 6th was happening. I got up January 7th, and I knew that was a psyop. I knew that was Antifa in there. That wasn't our people in there. I knew people on the ground. They weren't in there doing any of this stuff. So I knew it was a psyop. And I get all these emails from all these big ministries are like, oh, we don't do that, guys. Come on, settle down. I'm like, it's not us. No, we do not do that, and we did not do that. But that's the sad thing. Now, we got about 3 minutes, and I want to touch on this real quick. There's all this stuff out there about the Trump arrest. I think they're trying to just recreate January 6th again. They want to get people fired up, riled up, doing what BLM did. I mean, it's okay for BLM to riot and burn cities, but if we break a couple windows, all of a sudden we're insurrectionists. I really think they're trying to provoke us again and trying to do that. But, I mean, it's not going to matter because if they got Antifa wearing Trump hats out there burning cities saying, why did you arrest Trump? It's going to be January 6th all over again, and these ignorant people are just going to fall for the same nonsense.
Yeah, I think there's a certain degree of their attempting to rile up the Trump base. I think that there's also a certain attempt in order to alienate the independents and the moderate Republicans from ever being able to vote for Trump. Right. Because if they can get that visual of Trump being arrested or handcuffs or fingerprinted or whatever it is, then they're just going to play that through the entire election season. Mm-hmm. And then the everyday American, not the people that are principled conservatives or even America First, you know, Republicans or whatever it might be, but the everyday American, they're not necessarily following what's going on. They're that middle ground that can kind of go either way. That's the target for both political parties. You know, it's that small vote that swings election cycles. If they can get to them and get them to feel like, guess what? Donald Trump is a criminal. Here's the picture. Here's the photo of him being arrested. It's the same reason why they raided him in Mar-a-Lago. They needed to be able to say, look, he's been raided by the FBI. Now he's been arrested. He's a criminal. You can't bring yourself to vote for a criminal. And I would argue, and a lot of people will get upset at me when I say this, I would argue that the Republican Party is probably also involved in all of this as well when it comes to Trump, because they don't want Trump to be the nominee. They're doing everything they can to get Ron DeSantis as the nominee come 2024. They've been involved with election fraud. They've been involved with all these different kinds of psyops as well. We can't pretend like the Republican Party is innocent in this. In fact, when it comes to election fraud, I would argue the Republican Party was probably more involved with anything. And I've heard reports that even in Florida, Ron DeSantis won in such a landslide. What did he do? Won by 20 points. That in all reality, that election may have actually been rigged in his favor because they're trying to prop him up as the nominee instead of a Donald Trump. So all of this is going on because they're terrified of what Donald Trump represents. What Donald Trump represents is freedom and giving power back to the people. He represents we the people. And I believe that that's why they're trying to take him out right now.
Awesome. Hey, that's awesome stuff. I wish we could go on for a couple more hours here. I love these conversations. 20 seconds left, brother. Tell the people where to find you.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys go subscribe to my Substack, jeffdornick.substack.com. And if you guys want to pre-order my book, Following the Leader, it'll be out later this year. But go to jeffdornick.com/store. So jeffdornick.com/store or just jeffdornick.com. Go over there. You guys can pre-order the book right now. And anybody who pre-orders will get a signed copy as well.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Back right after this break.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts. And our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value. And the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Our next guest is Carrie Rivera. She is a great friend of Brighteon and Brighteon platform. She is doing something that I've been advocating for years, and that is using technology to really get a message out. I've spoken at so many hundreds of conferences over the last 20 years with my books, and everybody's got to travel. Everybody's got to have all this money, and you got to pay your speakers and the hotel and the conference center. There is so many good people out there with so much good information. We need to be using technology to spread the word. So Carrie is going to be having a conference this week. I'll let her tell you about it, but this weekend on Brighteon TV, it'll be virtual conference. You can watch it live. You can share the video after the fact with everybody, but this is really the wave of the future. There are times that we need to be in person. That's great. Most of the time you're going to get 100-200 people unless you're some huge big name. But Carrie, I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning.
Thanks a lot, John Diamond. Thanks for having me here nice and early. It's the coffee clutch hour we have going on here. And thanks for the introduction. You know, one of the things that happens in the autism community, because that's really where I'm embedded, the autism community, us parents, we don't have people to leave our kids with. And then, of course, if we have any extra money whatsoever, it's not going to be spent on hotels and airline flights. It's going to be spent on treatments and, you know, maybe it's probiotics, maybe it's minerals, maybe it's a trip to a doctor that's expensive or hyperbarics or whatever the treatment modality is that family desires to do. We don't have extra money. We definitely don't have extra hands. Typically, we've got one parent working and one parent staying at home. That's kind of usually how it happens in our community, especially when our kids get older and there's no longer, they say, when the bus stops coming. And unfortunately, right now, we are in an epidemic. It's 1 in 27 boys that are getting this autism diagnosis. So the epidemic is, as Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who is one of our speakers this weekend, it's Saturday, the 25th of March. It's the weekend before Autism Awareness Month begins, because the month of April is Autism Awareness Month, and the Autism Day is the 2nd of April. So I thought we'll do the conference the weekend before, because everyone's so busy with, you know, I want to watch this one or go to this one or something like that. So I wanted to have this. And like you said, it's virtual. It's virtual for many reasons, especially for the autism community. And we have some incredible speakers. And one of them I was about to tell you about was Dr. Stephanie Seneff from MIT. And she talks about, and she's been talking about this horrible statistic that 1 in 2 children born in 2032, so in 9 more years, every other baby born will be diagnosed with autism in their lifetime. Because as you know, children are not born with autism. It's something that the environmentally we're jabbing into them. So it can be avoidable, it can be treatable, and in some cases it can be reversible. So that is the message of this conference. It's a message of hope. And I don't believe a conference like this has ever been done before, because every one of our 15 presenters in English is going to be done also the second half of the day in Spanish. So it starts at 9 a.m. Eastern this Saturday, March 25th on Brighteon.tv. The first 4.5 hours are going to be in English. The second 4.5 hours are going to be in Spanish, the exact same speakers. I sent all the files of the people who did not speak English, did not speak Spanish. Well, actually, one who doesn't speak English. So actually, one of my presenters is in Spanish, and I had it dubbed in English. So, but the rest of them, besides, there's a few of us that speak English and Spanish. So there'll be 3 of the 15 in English and Spanish, and the other ones were dubbed into Spanish. So it's very exciting to be able to bring this to people, you know, on several different continents, which is very exciting too, because my influence in autism has always been more in Latin America than any place else. And I'm less censored in Latin America. U.S. censors crazy, and just the amount of censorship. You know, we used to, I think when, you know, we were young, you, me, us Brighteon people, we were young, us over 50 people, we had so much freedom, and we really thought, wow, our country, and you having been military, you also could notice, you know, when you go out of our country, how people view us. And it's not exactly how we might have viewed ourselves. So we actually have a lot more, a lot less freedom of speech. And so there's a lot more movement of, especially with, you know, alternative treatments in health in Latin America is much more common than it is, say, in North America and Europe, for that matter.
Yeah. And I've been following. My mom was a natural health nurse. She worked for, and I mean, I've been aware of big pharma. I've been aware of vaccines. I've been aware of this for, I mean, most of my life. I was diagnosed with ADD. In other words, I was just a really hyperactive little boy. We wouldn't sit still in school, and they put me on Ritalin, and my mom said it absolutely changed me. I mean, I was not even the same third grader anymore. So she only had me on that for a couple months in the spring there when they put me on it, and she realized this isn't good, and she went out and bought Prevention Magazine, and then boom, she got into the whole alternative healthcare system. But then, you know, I started to learn from her about vaccines and autism and infant death syndrome. I know Del Bigtree, I've interviewed Del before. For those who may not have heard any of this stuff, he's got the movie Vaxxed and Vaxxed Too. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what these vaccines are and have been doing?
Well, that's not my specialty, because that's what, and I let, you know, people like Dell and RFK Jr. and Dr. Wakefield, I let them, I think that's enough. I would like to work on prevention, because everything that happened in the past is in the past.
Yep.
We need to deal with the present and the future. And I'm all about helping families find different treatment modalities that resonate with them in order to get their children out of this, because it is reversible in some cases. And in some cases, it's just treatable. So if you have a child that is headbanging in a diaper, screaming, crying, not sleeping at night, well, that can reverse, you know? And then I've had to watch my own child reverse into autism, lose all his speech, and then get speech back. So you can reverse these things. And then I've seen so many children fully recover, thousands of children fully recover from the diagnosis. And it's so exciting. This summer, three of my kids, I don't stay in touch with everybody that I've worked with, of course, but three of the families happened to, there's more than three families, but let's go with the three this summer. Three boys got their driver's license this summer. So not only are they recovered, but they're absolutely typical in every way. You know, when people say, well, what does recovery look like? It looks like everybody else that's typical is doing the regular stuff, you know? It's like that, and it's very, very exciting. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the parents, once their kids become typical, they just keep on going down that regular life, you know, which I wouldn't fault anybody for that. It's just difficult because it's hard to keep videos up for people to see, like, oh, where are all the testimonies? And then my book I wrote about 10 years ago, there's a lot of testimonials there. But at the same time, you know, a testimony is not like a video. But again, 10, 15 years ago, we were not like really smartphone users. I think I had a BlackBerry. I don't think it took photos, you know, that kind of thing back then. So we didn't even have the access to to the type of, now everybody's taping everything. They tape their breakfast, they're taping, you know, they're making videos of everything. So I think it would have been easier had we had that. But still, people need to know that there are treatment options, and there is a possibility to recover from this. Because like my late friend, Dr. Roby Mitchell, rest in peace, was from Amarillo, Texas. He said, if you're not born with it, you don't have to die with it. And I think that's very profound. So, you know, yeah, there's a genetic disorder. You're born with blue eyes and you want to change it. Like, there's some things we're not going to be able to change. But things like this, that, you know, you're born perfectly fine, you have a typical development for a period of 12 to 18 months, and all of a sudden something goes sideways. It goes, you know, backwards, I should say, not sideways. And all of a sudden you are, you know, in a situation that is, you don't know what to do. There are solutions. And one in 27 boys right now, well, that was actually from a statistic from 2021, one in 27 boys. So you can guarantee that 2023 is getting closer to maybe one in 22, maybe one in 21 boys diagnosed with autism. And like I said, Dr. Stephanie Seneff is saying by 2032, it's one in two. So if we don't all become part of stopping the epidemic, everything else we're talking about, that's why when, you know, I listen about, you know, I listen to Mike Adams and all the, you know, the same stories, but I'm very concerned because this is international. This is not just American children. This is all around the world, because the CDC is controlling the vaccine schedule. So it doesn't matter what country you're living in. These children right now are getting about 72 vaccines before the age of two. People say, oh no, my child only got probably 10. In each one of those 10, there's between 5 and 7 different vaccines in there. And they've never done any testing to see what happens when you inject these 7 different viruses or whatever into the body on one day. They never check to see that. They don't have to. And this goes back to Ronald Reagan days. They don't have to check these things. There's an exemption from any kind of harm. So, you know, now a lot of people who probably weren't even thinking about vaccines, I mean, they knew they weren't good, so they didn't take them. But now, after what happened in the last couple of years with the jabs, So, you know, people are saying, those are bad too. I thought that those were the good ones and these were the bad ones, but actually they've always been bioweapons and they're taking our kids out. And humanity's losing in this case, you know, when it comes to vaccines, humanity's losing. So I really, and a lot of people are like, oh, I think we're winning. What about our children? I'm looking at these children, I'm looking at these babies, John, babies, I'm looking at them day in and day out, and it didn't have to be this way, you know? And again, my voice is just falling on deaf ears, and I'm super happy that people like Del Bigtree and RFK Jr., and they continue to push, thank God for them, really, thank God for them, because that there is a huge importance in this. People do need to stand up, but my position is still, from today forward, how can we reverse what happened? How can we fix the problem that happened? And when people say, autism is a gift, it's biodiversity. Biodiversity is not an adult with 22 years old or 23 years old wearing a diaper, fecal smearing, head banging, up all night. That is illness. Somebody is sick. They need attention. They need help. It's not about acceptance. You can accept that something happened, but you need to work forward. Well, and this is my opinion, of course. I would never leave somebody in my family, not my pets, not anybody in my house, would I leave them sick, you know, like leave him, well, you know, he's still alive, so just let him go about it. That's not the way to do it. We have to take care of our weakest link in our family, and that's gonna be our children. And once we learn what happened to our children, there is hope. In conferences like this, we're trying to build hope. And, you know, I always try to learn another language or two, but the only two languages that I can dominate are English and Spanish, so that's why I'm doing the conferences, my languages. But I can still see this, and of course, if the producer of Brighteon is listening, I'm coming in September, and I'm going to ask for more hours. In November, they were so kind, John. The people, the support, our tech guys here at Brighteon are phenomenal, and so they gave me, I think it was 4.5 hours in November, and in my opinion, it was an utter success, because what we were able to see, 5,000 some odd people saw that particular conference. And that was only 12 people in one language. Now we're doing 15 people in two languages. So we're doing 30 presentations. They gave me the entire day of Saturday, the 25th of March, starting at the crack of 9 a.m. Eastern. And I'm very, very excited about this opportunity. And I never want to embarrass anybody. So we want to make sure that it's really good and we're set. All the files are in, we're ready to go. So Saturday at the crack of dawn, we're going to have our coffees and we're going to be ready to go and make that a really successful day. And then after that, like you said, our files are all put into the conferences are going to be, or even today's show, they're going to be put on Brighteon.com for future reference, for archiving. So people can go there, and we've already talked about it with the producer, that we can do three files, one with the entire day of the 9-hour conference with English to Spanish, and then we're going to have one file just English and one file just Spanish, so people can share, and that's the important thing with these, and, you know, thank God for Mike Adams and all the producers here, because they made it available that people can share our work. I mean, I don't know about you, but I got thrown off of YouTube, I got thrown off of Facebook and PayPal and Instagram and you name it, because, you know, we're talking about things that they don't want us to be talking about. So here we have this platform, and of course we can always share in our sphere of influence, and people can always download the files and then share from their own servers or however they want to do it. We'd be happy to have people do that.
Yeah, and I had Jeff Dornick on the first half, and he really emphasized we the people. This is what your movement has to be. It has to be we the people. It has to be a grassroots. We have to share it with our friends and our relatives and our church members and our loved ones, because, you know, I mean, when we get enough people that understand the truth, then we've got power, and that's what they're afraid of. They don't want we the people to have the power. Let me ask you this, because I know I've been saying this for years and years and years. I even showed the vaxxed video at my church probably 10 years ago. And it's almost like people didn't want to believe it. It's one of those conspiracy theories again. It's, you know, you're not a medical doctor, so we trust the establishment. Are you seeing, since COVID, and I think I am, are you seeing people not trusting the medical establishment as they did in the past because of the vaccines and what they were told about COVID?
Yes and no. You know, when you're a mother, especially as a woman, I can even tell you my experience. I have two children. And I remember when I was pregnant, went to the OBGYN, and then that same, you know, that day my baby is born, in that same room is the OBGYN, this lovely person who's the pediatrician. So kind, everybody's so kind, right? And so they're like, okay, this is the pediatrician that I work with. You can, you know, get anybody you want, but this is what I work with. And so you literally are passed from hand to hand. There's never really a time that you start to investigate, like maybe formula's bad, breast milk is good, maybe, you know, vaccines are bad and alternative. There's just not that conversation. So I think that that's why we're losing. Because I still see people that like maybe get the first one and then hear that it's bad, or get, you know, because there's always, well, not always, but they're unfortunately vaccinating babies upon birth, which is totally insane, with hepatitis B vaccine and totally insane. But so, yeah, I'm seeing, of course, by the time people get to me, they're like, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. And we all didn't know. That's the problem, because we're kind of living in this void. I can say, like, my children were born many, many years ago. My oldest is 26, my youngest is 22. And, you know, back then we didn't really have, like, the opportunity to hear anything that there was even a possibility that it was bad. And now you might hear bad or good, but you could even start investigating based on that. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's been very outspoken against childhood vaccinations for many, many years. Like, I got into autism 19 years ago, unfortunately. And she was already there writing books about how bad vaccines are. And she's one of the presenters here on Brighteon, and one of the presenters in the conference. And she's actually calling for an entire stop to vaccines. She said, why are we even talking? And I said, finally, somebody's saying the most logical thing in the world. Why are we talking about taking the mercury out, take the aluminum out? Forget the vaccines. God didn't make a mistake. He knew what he was doing when he made humanity. We're perfect. We've been around for three and a half million years, or who knows how long. You know, he obviously got it right. We survived. And now look at us. Look at us. You know, 1 in 2 to have cancer during their lifetime, 1 in 27 children in 2021 to be diagnosed with autism, childhood cancers on the rise, diabetes is on the rise. And of course, us people, you know, like Del Bigtree, RFK Jr., Wakefield, myself and other people, this is all part of it. So sometimes, like Dr. Senev said, you know, of the 1 in 27 that's getting autism, there's another 10 that are ADD, ADHD, OCD, PDD. There's, like, you know, so many of these letter things, but they're all basically, you know, the ducks are the same feather. I mean, some of them are more severe, obviously, but others are still affected. There's still a lot of learning disabilities happening. The kids are IQs, as Dr. Senef is saying, Dr. Stephanie Senef from MIT is saying that the IQs are dropping. So, you know, I don't know, I'm in 57. So, you know, I remember all the kids in my class, everybody went on to do some, like, really amazing stuff. You know, and now the kids are really even like, oh, I'm gonna take a year off, or, you know, I can't decide what I'm gonna do, or there's a lot of gamers still, you know, this sort of thing. And we didn't have that. The IQs are definitely falling. It doesn't mean across the board, it doesn't mean there's not some geniuses out there. Of course there's some people that had good immune systems, they tolerated the jabs that they were getting, and they went on, they're okay. And, you know, okay is also like, how long are you okay for? You've got, you know, ovarian cancer at 27, or you have, you know, whatever kind of horrible thing is happening now. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. And I mean, people got to just, here's the thing. And this is why I love Mike Adams. This is why I love Brighteon. You and I both, when I started this show, before I even knew any of them, I knew of Mike Adams. I followed him for years, but I got on YouTube and tried to build a platform and kept getting strikes. And then I'd get canceled. I'd start another channel. I mean, it was just insane. So when I started this, I hold a news and journalism conference in Texas every year. We'll have one coming up in Houston this coming year. But here's one of the things that I read. This comes from Ben Franklin in 1731. This is almost 50 years before the Declaration. He said, printers are educated in the belief that when men differ in opinions, both sides ought to have equally have the advantage of being heard by the public, that when truth and error have fair play, the former is always overmatched for the latter. That's the problem that we have. And I think that's what I would challenge the people who are listening today. If people like Kerry are being, deplatformed, I wear that as a badge of honor, but there's got to be truth in what they're saying. Why is it people are trying to suppress you? Why are people trying to suppress what you have to say? That ought to in itself put up the red flags and go, you know what? I need to find an alternative way to listen to Kerry. And that's why I just praise you for this conference and Mike Adams and the team here for hosting it virtually. I mean, I think you're going to change a lot of people's minds and hearts with all the speakers you have.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you very, very much. And I appreciate you having me on. And yes, I mean, Brighteon has been so kind and so supportive. You know, and I know that most of the people here are not, you know, they're not woven into autism, which is fine. So I'm kind of like the autism person over here at Brighteon. But it's really affecting lives, you know, and it's not just autism. Like I said, you know, like Dr. Sanif said, the other of the 27, you got one with autism, you have another 10 that are not okay either. They're not learning like they should be learning, and they wouldn't have had those IQ point reductions had they not been vaccinated with the childhood immunization schedule. So these are things that are affecting. And of course, let's, you know, like Dr. Sanif says, glyphosate's a huge problem. Eat organic, buy ranger buckets, buy stuff at the health ranger store, because it's all organic and it's tested against heavy metals. We have to do this for our children because they're so susceptible, especially our babies, our growing children. You know, one thing is after the age of 15, that's still probably not good. But if we can make those developmental years with healthy foods and staying away from things like, you know, environmental toxins like jabs and things of the nature, that would really help set them up for a future that is, much more hopeful than what we're seeing.
Yeah, well, that's great. So if you're watching today and you're not familiar with Brighteon TV, or maybe you're watching it, go to Brighteon TV. On the main webpage, you have all of our hosts and our normal everyday shows, but we do have a Brighteon 2, which is our live stream platform. And right at the top of the page, I don't know if the producer can put up Brighteon TV's website there. Right at the top of the page, it says live streams, daily shows, live events. I mean, there's a lot of great information there. So I would challenge everybody just to go and web surf. Look at all the tabs. Look at what Brighteon TV has to offer. And then look at the schedule. Scroll through there. Carrie now has a show on our platform, and we're absolutely happy to welcome you. Carrie, we are a body, the body of Christ. You are a specialty in this. I'm a specialty in this. And there's so many people on this platform that are bringing things together. I'm just so happy to be a part of it. We got about 30 seconds left, Carrie. Tell the people where they can find you.
CarrieRivera.com is my website, and my email is Carrie@CarrieRivera.com. So if anybody is confused about how to do this stuff, just, you know, reach out to me, email. I answer all my emails. So if I didn't answer you, re-email. And then, of course, if you're Yahoo or Hotmail or something, they've all blocked me. So probably I'm just not getting through to you. And of course, the conference this weekend is free on Brighteon.tv. You don't want to miss it. We have the best names. I can't even say them all. They're all fabulous, fabulous. You got to go. Thank you so much for having me, John.
All right. I look forward to it. Everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.